This is Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions with Gerald Yao-Yi, Oscar Panifex, Liam Fogarty, and Ryan Cook.
G'day, punters, and welcome to Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions. I am your host, Ryan Cook, joining me back from his sabbatical.
Hooray!
The man that has promised to squeeze in more F-bombs than Latrell Mitchell. It's Liam Fogarty.
That's a high bar. Yeah,
that's a high bar.
And I get to edit the pod now, so they're all making the cut.
And to my left, he's a bit of a sad bunnies boy right now. The man that single-handedly stopped Wade Egan from taking the field last week.
Oh, my God.
It's Oscar Panifex.
Sorry, Wade.
Oh, my
Love you, bro.
Lord.
Hope that elbow's all right.
Please don't talk about any of us in high esteem at the moment.
Pat Carrigan's been looking
for us. No.
And of course, the three-year podcast vet. He's back from rubbing.
Haven't missed one.
He's been rubbing shoulders with country music's elite over the weekend. It's Jarrell Yao-Yi. Yeah. How was CMC, mate?
Oh, my gosh. Look.
Did you?
Look, I had a little country boner over the weekend. That was, honestly, people don't realize how much I love country music.
What's the difference between a regular boner and a country boner?
Oh, a little bit of a twang in it.
That'll do. That's the show. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Ever responsibly. Yeah. Well,
the funny thing is, my cock's actually on my shoulder, so. So I'll be rubbing shoulders. No, it was good. CMC Rocks was amazing. Gets better and better every year. Got to speak to the great Michael Chug, who runs the Chug Entertainment and brings all of the great artists over, and he actually alluded to me a little bit that I asked him, you know, what's coming for next year? Because he just keeps getting better. We had Lainey Wilson, right, who's the biggest country artist in the world right now, won any award. The last woman to win award for the best entertainer was Taylor Swift. So she's obviously, you know, she's the bee's knees at the moment.
You interviewed her, didn't you?
I did interview her.
Were you a nervous boy?
Very, very nervous. But she was so comfortable. She was lovely. It was hard. Like, she stared into my soul. I said to my wife, I was like, that was the most awkward I've ever felt. Talk about awkward boners, but anyway. No, I'm joking. She was lovely, but they hinted about one country artist that's coming up at the moment who's got face tattoos. So I'll leave you, you know, what you can do with what you want with that. So I think he's coming next year, Post Malone. I reckon he'll be at CMC Rocks 2024.
Is he officially a country artist?
Yeah, he's making a country album as we speak.
There you go.
So
co-headlining with Beyonce?
It ain't Texas. What a song that is. Anyway, look, enough about my country shenanigans over the weekend. It was it was great.
Very good, Gerard. Let's move into some footy talk now. We're recording this on a Wednesday, and although we're 3 weeks into the season, we've had our first taste of the axe swinging down pretty hard overnight when team lists were announced. Of note, Adam Reynolds is out for potentially 3 weeks with a knee injury.
Yep. Not by the axe, just
not
by
axe. No, just yep. the Storm are set to go without Cameron Munster and Jerome Hughes. Yep. Newcastle has dropped Jackson Hastings. Probably the biggest turn of events, though, and Oscar's looking at me very intensely over here, Lachlan Ilias and South Sydney. Look, Oscar, I'm going to get your thoughts on South Sydney in general just in a minute. But do you think he's sort of just been thrown under the bus here a bit?
Yeah, I do. Long story short, I do think Ilias has been made a scapegoat. I've been an Ilias fan since he came into grade.
You have?
I think the fundamentals of his game, I think he's got some qualities that he's shown from very early on that I look for anyway in long-term NRL halfbacks. Yep. He's willing to take a shot when he straightens at the line before passing. He knows how to get at specific defenders, you know, at an inside or an outside shoulder. He competes like everything, and I think he's a really, really strong defender. That being said, his kicking game is an issue. He's had these weird kick errors in his game pretty much since he started in the NRL. I was at the game on Thursday, and you can see the two kick errors he had. You could see both of them coming, just the positioning of where he was in relation to the play the ball. He's a right foot kicker, so if he's on the left-hand side of the ruck, the markers are coming at his kicking leg. Like all these little things, good halfbacks and good kickers will get it right in the NRL. So, yeah, I think in that respect, there's grounds for him to be, you know, under pressure or replaced. Mm. But I don't think that's not where South aren't losing because we've had two kick errors over the first 2 weeks. I think for me, two things that I just wrote down that I think are really important of where South are at the moment. They spent all summer with Campbell Graham and Jack Whiten training as their two center pairings, yep. right? Those two guys are arguably the best play two and three ball carriers in the competition. So we can carry an AJ or a Tyrone Munro or a Latrell Mitchell because Whiten and Graham are going to be putting up 150, 200 meters a game. That would have been South's game plan.
Yeah.
We haven't had those guys, so therefore our forwards are doing a heap more work in yardage. They're having to work further back behind the ball before they even take their carries. We're getting beat in the middle, so Lachie Ilias is maybe, is he kicking off slow play the balls from poor positions on the field where we're not getting to the specific spots? I don't know. And then the other thing, and this is my biggest bugbear, people are talking about Lachlan Ilias's attacking stats. His role in this Rabbitohs team is not to throw the tri-assist pass. We've got two of the best ball-playing attacking players in the competition in Cody Walker and Latrell Mitchell. Those are the guys that are supposed to be throwing the tri-assist pass and getting all the line break assists and tri-assists and all these numbers that Supercoach fans and all these kind of people look for. Lachlan's role is to get to certain areas on the park and put Cody in good positions to make those passes. And, yeah, for me, it feels like he's been scapegoated.
Yeah, well, they're not, them two you just spoke about aren't, you know, nothing against them who they are, but they're just not firing at the moment. Mm. Latrell and Cody are not firing at the moment. And it might take them a few more games to start firing. Yeah. But I think watching, you know, being there as well at Suncorp last Thursday, just watching their attack close to the line. Like there was a few coming out of the second half, that was just a few individual, you know, tries that come about. And that was lazy defense by the Broncos. But they did not look on when they're, you know,
coming left,
or, you know, even right. Like it just didn't look like they were on. And I wasn't worried at all. I didn't think they were going to score at all the first half, as they did not. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's obviously a few things there that they need to fix, whether that's internally, you know, whatever's going on. There's a lot of talk about JD at the moment. I know we don't want to keep that, you know, there, but there is a lot of, you know, talk about him, whether he's the coach for the job as well. Yeah. And when you're in those roles, you've got to understand you're going to have that heat on you anyway 100%. As a coach. So if you're not performing, it's going to go back to the players first, and then it's going to go, all right, well, if they're not doing the right plays, if they're not, you know, fundamentally right, who is to blame? And it's, you know, it gets put on the coach at the end. So yeah, it's, if it keeps going down this road, unfortunately it's going to be a long season for you, brother.
Yes, I agree.
as an ex-player, Gerald, say this happened to you, put yourself in Ilias's shoes. Would this sort of light a fire under your ass to change
yeah
this?
Look, I think there's a lot of chat about, you know, when people get dropped and entitled about, oh, I should be in this side, blah blah blah. Look, if you get dropped from a side, it's happened to me, you just go back and work on your craft and get better. Don't whinge about it. Like we're hearing stories about the Jackson Hastings things at the moment. It's coming through. That is something that's ongoing for him, obviously. I'm not sure if he doesn't fit into teams right. I don't know what's wrong with Jackson Hastings, but Lachlan Ilias' situation is go back, work your ass off, and get back in the side. That's like anyone who plays in the NRL. When you get an opportunity, you need to take it. And it will, I believe it'll light a fire. I still think he is the guy, you know, for them.
He'll be back in the side before round 10. I'm almost
certain. He's the guy. He's the guy for them. So, but you've also got to give him confidence as well. Like, you can't just let him go back and give him, you know, and we, you know, talk about the coaching. You know, you can't give him, just go back and these are the things. You've got to give him the reasons. What did I do wrong? What do I need to get better at? And that's just about, you know, being involved in an NRL club and coaching. So I believe he'll be back in the side. It's not the end of the world. Yeah, I just think go back, work on your craft and get better.
He's only 23, and it's hard to say that there's a player that's been put in a better position to find success than him at South Sydney. Just looking back on the round that's just gone, boys, pretty quiet weekend of footy, wouldn't you say? Dragons, your Dragons, Gerald, have come crashing back down to earth. The Finns are up. The Raiders are on top of the ladder for the first time in forever. And the Xavier Coates try, of course. Let's get into some unpopular opinions. Oscar, you want to go first?
Oh, well, we kind of just covered mine. Yeah.
South Sydney?
Yeah, Lachlan Ilias being dropped. That's an unpopular opinion of mine, is I think he should have been given a little bit more time, but we'll wait and see. Happy for Dean Hawkins to get his opportunity.
Yeah. You just mentioned mine as well. I believe that Air Coates will be landing from Port Moresby very, very soon in Newcastle this weekend. That is honestly the best finish try I have ever seen and I've ever watched live.
100%.
Like put my eyes on. And that might be a popular opinion. That might be an unpopular opinion for some people. They're always going to be footage of other, you know, tries. That's the best try I've ever seen. For a guy who's 6'2", 6'3", to jump 6-7 meters out and still put it down. And you know what I loved? He knew, he clenched his left hand. Like, I know it sounds really weird, but he clenches his left hand to try and pull it back at the last second to score that try. And the fact that it was, the reason why I think it's on the scale of best try, the best try ever, is because it's right at the end of the game. It's a must score. There's nothing. The context of it. It's the best try. So Xavier, I take my hat off to him. Like, there's no way in the world in my career I don't think I'd ever been able to do that. These guys these days are so good at contorting their body and making those plays. But that was beyond freakish. I think he broke the internet. Like, that is the GOAT try. That's a GOAT try.
Yep. This might be a stupid question, but do you think players practice this 100% during the week?
Yeah, I see it
and
all the time.
Did you do that in your career?
Never. Because when I was playing, the goalpost was...
The corner post.
Was in play, like it was out.
True.
So we could never really work around that, which was the best thing. Look what we get to see now. Some of the best athletes in the world finishing those tries. Yeah, you see him at training all the time. I teach my boys at training at West Arana you put a pad down and you jump in the corner. And it's all fun and games of training, but you honestly, it's just muscle memory and you get better at it. So I would have no doubt that all these players that are in the NRL at the moment do that for fun at training. Yep. But at the end of the day, it's for big players. We've seen Dallin. Like, he's probably the best consistently to do it.
That's what I was going to say.
He did one last year as well.
It's ironic that Dallin was the guy getting leaped there because he's made a career out of finishing those.
And he did another one on the weekend where he didn't even look at he knew where he needed to get to, right? And that's just football awareness. Like, goosebumps talking. Like, that is just... you're a good winger when you don't even have to watch where the defender's coming from.
Yep.
He just knows he's got to get to that spot. When he's got to leap to make sure his body's out of the field of play. And I think defenders, we've got to be a bit smarter about how they defend this. You've got to go attack the ball. You can't attack the player anymore. Like, you've got to understand, you've got to try and take their arm out or something.
But Dallin kind of did try and play at the, like, he loaded up on the tackle and the next minute Xavier was above him.
It's incredible. Yeah. It's the greatest try that I've ever seen.
And I think Melbourne as a whole, very ominous signs. Without Cam Munster, without Nelson Asofa Solomona, 2 weeks in a row now they've beat two of the better sides in the comp. But it's the way, like you said, the context of it. Ryan Pappenhausen's two tries. Like, if Coates doesn't score that, we're talking about those two players as some of the sweetest rugby league we saw in round two.
I've just got a feeling about this Melbourne. That's why I put them first. That's why I've said they're going to finish first this year.
I'm coming around to that.
Like, honestly, I haven't seen a Melbourne side be this bad for 2 years in a row. Mm. So they would have got one of the hardest preseasons they would have put through, I reckon, by Craig Bellamy. He knows that he's right at the end. Like, he could go another year, but... I think he wants that premiership to go out on that fairy tale. So Melbourne Storm they're a hot commodity at the moment. They're a hot commodity.
And Munster's not even playing.
And they're not even playing. Like the best, one of the best halves in the game, not even playing.
Tough start to the year for them too in terms of the draw. 100%. So
exactly.
A lot to like if you're a Melbourne Storm fan. Foggs, you've been a bit quiet, mate. What did you take away from the weekend?
Look, I'm just a massive fan of all the rule changes the NRL keeps bringing. Like, I think we should keep the one where you can't run a block line for kickers. Now that's like one of the greatest rule changes they've ever made. I really love how you can just have a 70-meter swing all of a sudden. Like, I think it was like the first two plays of the game that Broncos Rabbits, Carrigan touches the kicker, and then all of a sudden Rabbits have an attacking set. I think that's beautiful. I think the game really benefits from that. I think we should stop tackling. I think that's probably the next one we should bring in. Maybe they should just... maybe have a coin toss and that's the game there. Like, it's just
clearly love it so
I
much.
Think we need to keep interfering with the greatest game of
would
all.
Would you say the game's gone soft?
I think it needs to go soft to appeal to more people, and I think that by changing these rules constantly, I think that's the way to do it. So
I'd love to know what Fast Five's about.
big fan of all the rule changes.
Foggs isn't happy today. We established that off the air before the show.
It's really warm in here.
My takeaway is that Jeremy Marshall King is in the wrong sport, because that was one of the greatest Falcons I've probably seen in any sport. On Sunday in the Finns game.
That's like a high kick. Like, he could cop one UFC fighter to the head and he still stayed up.
He didn't look well like immediately after when Hunty picked him up. But
I mean, let me kick a ball he had to see if
exactly,
well.
I know.
And Dozer's got a pretty hard kick on him.
Yeah,
oh,
man.
So far.
Let's get into some betting now. Fogs and Oscar will be back with the offload.
All the betting trends from around the comp. This is the offload.
Oscar, another tough week for you in the crash play last week. Look, you went close.
Yes.
Jack Bird looked home and hosed before he had that try disallowed.
Yep.
This week over on the Neds blog, you've taken a look at a few new club debutants that you think are worth watching moving forward.
Yep.
First cab off the rank, rather. You've taken a good look at the Dragons and in particular Kyle Flanagan, who you think could be a pretty key piece to their attack this year.
Yeah, we talked about him last week, so I won't go over too much old ground here. But yeah, I think The Kyle Flanagan rhetoric started up again this weekend after the Dragons got pantsed by Wayne Bennett's Dolphins. He's going to have hot and cold games, I think, but I think he showed enough in round one to suggest he's not the same player he was at the Bulldogs and at the Chookies as well. He looked pretty comfortable in that role, dishing to Ben Hunt and Tyrell Sloan out on the edges. If the Dragons can stay competitive in yardage, I think Flanagan can fill that role nicely this year. But if they keep getting dominated around the ruck, then it could be another long year for young Kyle, I think.
It feels like we haven't spoken much about Manly, probably because the former host of the show isn't on here anymore, Jared Timms.
And they're going good. We usually talk to them when they're going bad. Right.
Let's get into some Luke Brooks chat. He took a lot of the headlines after round one, and it sounds like you're a pretty big fan of his fit with the Sea Eagles.
Yeah, I think it's perfect. It looked perfect on paper. His running game being second fiddle to a guy like Daly Cherry Evans, who does all of the stuff that Luke struggled with throughout his career at the Tigers. And it seems to, at least after two games, it seems to be translating onto the field as well. I did a big video breakdown on Rugby League Writers this week about what Jake Trbojevic is doing to unlock Luke Brooks on that left edge. They're just so well balanced, their attack right now. Like, Tom Trbojevic wasn't that involved in their attack in round two, and they still ended up scoring, 20, 30 points?
Yep.
Now you've got DCE and Olakau'atu falling into a different shape literally every time they go down that right edge. Turbo's sweeping out the back of that. So as a defensive team, you look at Daly, Olakau'atu and Tommy Turbo, you go, yeah, that's where the ball's going. Suddenly Jake Trbojevic jumps in at first receiver on the short side, throws to Luke Brooks, who puts the quick hands through for Tommy Talau to score on that left edge. So, yeah, there is a lot of things to consider when defending this Manly attack at the moment.
It was a very tough game on Saturday for Manly against the Roosters. Be interesting to see how they back up from that. Lastly, we've already sort of touched on the Finns, but you dived into Tom Flegler in your article, and it sounds like we can expect a lot more from him moving forward.
Yeah, well, I wrote about Flanagan, Ethan Strange, Lachlan Galvin, and Luke Brooks, so four halves, and then the last name on my list was Big Tommy Flegler.
Banana bender.
The banana man.
Just some of the things that he's doing in this Dolphins pack. He's popping up as a pass option through the middle. He was out on the left edge in a block decoy shape the week before. Just these little variations to what's a fairly one-dimensional Dolphins pack. I think he's adding some nice variety and point of difference in there. He's thrown three or four passes already in his first two games after throwing only a handful over the last few years. So, yeah, the Finns are on the rest this week, I believe. But, watch out for Flegler and what he's doing, particularly in good ball for the Dolphins this year.
I know it's only 2 weeks into the year, but is he so far been the signing of 2024, would you say?
I think Brooks would be up there too.
Yeah.
Those That'd be two. A fair argument, one it's of those two
apples
guys.
And oranges, those two boys.
Listeners, if
you're bananas.
if you're liking what you hear from Oscar here, you can find all of his bets in the Neds Open Group's NRL channel. You've sent a few anytime tri-scorer bets you like through to Fogs this week. What do we got, boys?
Yeah, what have you got?
I'll start off first.
You start.
Just mentioned Big Hamole Olakau'atu. Olakau'atu. Every time Manly got into good ball last week, Cherry Evans and his back rower fell into a different shape.
Yep.
They had him running a double lead lines, out the back of a jockey shape, isolating him onto Keary. That's clearly going to be a tactic for Manly this year. They're up against a new look Eels left edge this week. I think Hamole will see plenty of boys. Great value at 375 he was this morning.
I want to have a look at the Panthers-Broncos game. So there's obviously no Adam Reynolds this week, and the Broncos have been priced at $3.40.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do the Broncos have a chance? Like, it's only Reno that they're missing. Mm. Like, what are your thoughts there?
I don't mind the line bet for the Bronx there.
8.5 points?
Yeah, I don't mind that. Penrith are missing James Fisher-Harris, which is a massive loss for them.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Bronx can keep it close.
The Bronx have had to learn to play a lot of footy without Adam Reynolds because I feel like he's almost injured every game so far. Like, well, he certainly hasn't finished a game yet this year. So, like, they're playing a fair bit.
Yep.
Without him, I think...
Jock Madden does a good job in there too. I like him. He's a good young half.
Yeah, so. It's good when you got better depth than what we've had in the previous years to fill in those roles. And I think having Reno injured at times last year has given Jock Madden that time to get into the game and understand how first grade play, you know. So I'm not like it's $3 is a good price.
$3.40
is a very good price for the Broncos. I've got to remember it's that game that we played the last year with them, so
we lost to them a couple of times last year, but we did beat them in round one. The other one that stands out to me is Sunday evening Newcastle Knights versus Melbourne Storm. Storm at $2.05 outside. It's like are the bookies just not respecting them there?
Potentially. I think that's probably a reaction to Munster.
But also last year, they beat Melbourne in Newcastle last year.
Yeah, true.
Towards the back end of the year to sort of get their run started off and going, remember? Yeah. So maybe that's a bit of a reaction from that.
Storm got both starting halves missing. Jerome Hughes ridiculously suspended for trying to make a tackle where a referee was standing.
I get it, but I also
cannot even see.
He used to be the trolley boy at my Kmart.
Really?
Jerome Hughes.
Chris Butler.
Oh.
Jerome Hughes.
Definitely not Jerome Hughes, but Chris Butler did. He was a trolley boy at Rana Hills Kmart.
Well, he might be pushing trolleys again soon. If he keeps getting up in the defensive line, he might be back to pushing trolleys.
There was another ref that got in the way as well. Yeah, the Sharks.
Whose name? Ziggy Shenanigans was his name.
Shenanigans, that's right. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, I don't mind the Knights there. I think Jack Cogger's a likeable choice in the number seven jumper.
Mm.
His ability to straighten the attack, that's what won Penrith the grand final last year. Sorry to bring that up again. So if he can do the same for Ponga, on paper, it's a nice fit for this Knights attack.
And I guess the other one that kind of stands out to me is that Bulldogs-Titans game. The Bulldogs are $1.85. The Titans are $1.96. We haven't seen a lot from either of them.
I'm all
so
over
far
that
this
Gold
year.
Coast price.
Yeah, Gold Coast price.
Gold Coast.
Coming off a bye.
I guess it's like a would you rather shit yourself or piss yourself situation. Like one of them has to win. Like, but I don't know if we've seen much
could
of any of them.
Could be a draw, though.
Oh, no. Could technically be a draw.
Yeah, that could be a good draw tip.
I think the Dogs have been all right defensively. It's just they run out of steam because they're spending so much time defending
and they got no middles.
They did start that Sharks game very strong.
I shan't be watching that game on the weekend.
Great use of the word shit. Yeah. I've got two more tips just for this weekend. Looking at the Roosters' left edge up against the Rabbitohs' right edge of Dean Hawkins, Jacob Host, Isaiah Tass and Tane Milne. Mm. Not the most excited I've ever been, respectfully, about a Rabbitohs edge defensive unit.
Yep.
I think the Chookies are going to go left. I think Suali'i at $3.90 and Daniel Tupou at $2.45. Ooh, feast up on that.
That should be a massive game. Like, those two always stand up against each other. Like,
someone's getting punched, do we think?
Oh, yeah.
Is there a market for it?
Hope so, yeah. We hope.
Me, I'll be punching myself in the head.
All right, Oscar, just give us a recap of your tips there, please.
Hamole Oluwatu, anytime try, getting him for about $3.75 as of Wednesday morning. And then in the Chooks game, half a stake each on Daniel Tupou and Joseph Suali'i for the Roosters.
Those will be available in Ned's open groups. Yep. And if you want to check out all of Oscar's in-depth analysis, head over to rugbyleaguewriters.com. They do fantastic work. We will be back with Storytime with Jarrell.
Strap yourself in. It's Storytime with Jarrell.
Jarrell, you gave us a glimpse into some of the antics that went on last week in Ben Hunt's 300th game with the Dragons. Social media lit up, of course. None of us have an idea of what you're going to tell us today, so I'm going to give you the floor.
Yeah, this one's been sort of in the back burner for a while because it's been a bit hard to tell this story with one of the guys that was being involved with it, but ready to bring it out now.
Here we go.
I can't remember exactly what year it was, but Andrew McCulloch had sort of, I think he'd done his knee and he was sort of coming back from a knee injury at the Brisbane Broncos. Now, there's always pranksters at the Brisbane Broncos back in the day. I think you could imagine Josh Maguire has always been a guy who was a big prankster. Several times he's brought animals into the showers with the boys to scare them.
What kind of animals are we talking
well,
about?
Well, that's another story.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, we'll keep
sorry,
that
sorry,
one.
Sorry, sorry.
Whichever club they were versing that week.
A moose. A whole moose.
So Josh has been one of those guys that's always been fun to be around. You want to be closer than further away from him. But there was another guy that he got along with really well. That was one Matt Lodge. So Matt came to the club after a pretty turmoil situation that happened to him, you know, and he's owned up to that and he's done his time and he's done what he needed to do. Mm-hmm. So it's time probably I tell this story. So
the NDAs. Yeah. Here we go.
So it's a pretty funny one. So Macca had sort of just got this new dog and he'd just been talking about it at training all the time. And we sort of just had enough of it. Sort of just got the shit. So me, Matt Lodge and Josh Maguire thought it'd be a great idea to try and steal the dog.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. So we actually got it sorted out with Macca's partner. So to make sure that it wasn't just
that it was safe.
Yeah, it was safe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Obviously, one of the boys being in that situation was probably at the time like, well, we probably shouldn't tell anyone about this. So I brought my GoPro at the time, and I strapped it to my chest.
Going all out.
All out. 3:30 a.m. in Ashgrove, we turned up to Macca's.
Wow.
While he's in, was he away or
asleep,
was he
fully, break fully his asleep in his
oh
bedroom?
Oh my god.
This could have been a news story.
Balaclava's on. Yeah, one of us didn't have a balaclava on for good reasons. Anyway, we go and I go to Moose, yeah, because he's got a balcony. Like, you need to jump up there. And Daisy, the dog, would always sort of come to the door if she wanted to go to the toilet. So if you sort of give her a little bit of, come to the door, she would come to the door.
Yep.
So everything's going fine. Moose is up there and me and my other friend are down here and I'm sort of filming and Daisy comes to the door. The door is open because Macca's partner had left it open for us when she got up. So she was a part of it. Anyway, what we didn't realise is that Andrew had decided to get up to go to the toilet exactly the same time.
Oh, no.
So,
oh, my God.
Of course he did.
So
of course he did.
We've literally acquired the dog immediately he's come out. Fight or flight for him. What do you reckon Andrew McCulloch would have done?
He swung.
He's a fighter, mate. If anyone watched him play footy, he's a fighter. We've immediately left, tried to go as fast, left the dog, dropped the dog, jumped over the balcony, started sprinting, and he is screaming, "Get back here! Get back here!" He's jumped over the balcony as well, obviously come back from his injury. We've just, he's gone to him, we're like, "Oh my God, it's us. And he's just like, "You fucking idiots." So we basically almost stole Andrew McCulloch's dog, almost done his knee again with me, Josh Maguire, and Matt Lodge.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's unreal.
Very unreal story. And it was really hard to tell back then. So you're welcome, gents.
I'm liking these stories from the archives. Enough time has passed that you can bring them out now.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
He's going to freak out too. He listens and watches all this stuff.
Yeah, I know.
We've gotten DMs from him before. He's going to panic.
We'll see you on the other side, Mac.
Who decided to give him his own segments? It's time for Fogg's Fast Five.
Last week we got political and boy did the folks on social media show us some love. Plenty of hate mail in the inaugural edition of Ryan's Relaxed Five, but back to pick up the pace in his self-titled segment is the man himself. Fogs, over to you with this week's Fast Five.
Good to be back.
Fast by name, and, fast by nature.
That's how we do it. And I'm still yet to get a call up to the Arana team. I know that you need a fast fella in the centres.
We've lost your number.
We got a bit of fan mail last week on one of our clips.
Oh, really?
This bloke named Cobber 2023 commented, I know Jarrell. I went to Groverly State School with him and know his mum very well.
This is not real.
He was never big like he all of a sudden become when he was in grade school low. I remember he used to chuck hissy fits and the staff had tapes of Sesame Street especially for him to watch.
What?
And his big sister used to have to constantly try to calm him down. He was one of the weirdest kids I've ever known. How much truth is that?
Is there... I'm not about Sesame Street. I'm not sure about that, but I don't even have a fucking sister either.
So. There you go. So he's just pulled this out of his ass.
Yeah, clearly. I think he's...
Good on you, Cobber. Fan right. of the show.
There we go. That's good to fact check. So I thought, who are the other strange units in the league going around at the moment to try and rival the great Jarrell Yayi? So these are the top five strangest units in the league that I could think of.
Oh, yes.
Starting with a Bunnies boy, Campbell Graham. I think the less said about him is the better.
Yep. Yeah.
The gag is that he's a serial killer.
He's a scary man.
And I reckon, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Allegations. Yeah.
Allegedly.
He's coming for you. Yeah.
Number two is from the Warriors, Chance Nickel-Klokstad. I don't think I've ever seen that bloke blink.
What are you suggesting?
Just something not he's quite right about him. He's I'm not robot. Sure. He could be. Yeah. I mean,
Terminator.
He's never come out and said he's not a robot. So
yeah.
You know,
yep.
Do with that what you will.
Can't wait for the rest of the list. This is good.
Number three from the Bulldogs, Toby Sexton.
Oh, yeah.
I don't trust him. I just feel like he's hiding some secrets in that big melon of his.
I've actually had a drink with Toby Sexton.
Good Gold Coast lad. Good Gold Coast lad.
He's a bit weird, yeah.
Number four, Chad Townsend from the Cowboys. He's obsessed with filming himself, and I know a few blokes like that.
Big filming guy.
Big strange unit guy. I know a lot of blokes obsessed with being on camera, and none of them...
Johnny Sims, known very well. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Who's that? I don't know.
Wrong podcast. Oh,
bit of twang on. and then the last bloke, I reckon he's the strangest unit in the league. From the West Tigers, it's Appy Korsau.
Left the Penrith.
There has to be something wrong with you to leave Penrith during a dynasty.
Oh,
there you go, boys. Yeah.
Brutal.
Love some fast.
Good fight. To have you back, Fogs. That's going to be tough to top.
Surely they get one up this week. It's the NRL Podcast Multi.
All right, let's get into the multi now. We've got to get serious because things are a bit...
That was
bit
grim.
Yeah, that was very serious.
But yeah, you're right.
It was a bit grim last week. We'll get into it. So last
I'm
week...
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry,
you better
Ben.
Be. Yeah. Last week, Oscar, you took the Panthers -3.5 at the alternate line. Yep. Got us off to a good start. I just fell in with under 44.5 points between the Raiders and Tigers, looked dead by halftime. Foggs, you came storming home with the Storm -2.5.
Shout out to Xavier Coates. I'm pretty happy I profited off the greatest try of all time. Yeah, I can take that to the grave now.
Up and about in the chat. Jarrell, what happened next?
Come on, you Dragons fans. Oh, look, I don't know, man. I really fudged up on this one. I should know when you get towed like the Dolphins did for round one that Uncle Wayne was going to have something in play. But the Dragons looked great round one, and it was really hard to go against them in round two, and they were paying a good price. Yep. So, yeah, look, I'll lick my wounds and I'll go again this week. But fuck my life.
We got waned last week.
Waned and Dwayne.
We'll let you off the hook.
Better than your fast five.
Let's look at the season record. So, Oscar, you're up 2-1 so far. The rest of us need to lift a little bit. 1-2. Foggs and I got our first win last week.
So 33%.
Hopefully we can build on that. Oscar, you're first up this week.
I've taken the Seagulls. I mentioned earlier what Olakau'atu is doing on that right edge with DCE, and they're up against an Eels left edge with a debutant in the centres. I think that's where Manly will go. So I like the head-to-head value in Manly there.
JYY.
Yeah, Christchurch. I don't see them losing this one, the Waz. I've gone them head-to-head, $1.42. I don't see them going 0-3. I think they're going to bounce back. Yeah, they are too good. They literally almost beat a Melbourne side in Melbourne after 15 years. Mm. If it wasn't for that freakish try, they win that. You know?
Should have won.
So, yeah, I've gone the Wilds $1.42.
Nice. Fogs, you're up Cronulla, I believe.
Yes, I am. They're taking on the West Tigers this week, and I can't believe no one took anything for that game. So I think the line's 12.5 points. I've shaved it back to 4.5, I believe.
I always get nervous going against the West Tigers. Do you know what I mean? Like,
because you never know.
She's never know. That's why I don't think I'll ever put a bet on that.
Well, you know, and I'm going to take it almost every week.
I'm going to be the anchor this week. And despite what everything we just said about the Melbourne Storm, I'm going the Knights head-to-head in the final game on Sunday. I just expect a bit of an emotional come down for the Storm after what happened last week.
And the big game the week before as well.
Exactly.
2 weeks, yeah.
Well, we spoke about this last week.
That's what you said.
It was hard for them to bounce back, and they almost looked like they were down and out from this miracle try. So I don't hate it.
Few key outs for the Storm, as we've already said. And look, this is D-Day for the Knights. If they don't win this game at home, 0-3, tough to come back from. All right, when we come back, we're going to wrap up the show and we're going to name the episode.
You're listening to Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions.
Boys, we're about to wrap up here on Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions. What are we looking forward to this week? Oscar, take it away.
Look, I just want to give a shout out to Michael Jennings, who flew very far under the radar this week to be named 18th man for the Sydney Roosters this week.
What?
Yeah.
I did not even know
There's
that.
There's barely an article out about it at the moment. Look, he probably won't play, but I think it's just worth shouting him out. He's done his time, made a mistake, worked his way back, and now he's in the frame to feature in the NRL again before he retires. So, yeah, shout out to Michael.
Wow. That's a fair call, Gerard.
Yeah. Trial 2 for the Western Rhino Panthers this weekend up the coast.
Who have you got?
Against in Yandina, actually, against Coolum. A-grade side. So we're probably going to get tested a little bit more than we did our first trial. But we get a star-studded line back up. Josh Hoffman at fullback. Big slam and Sam Thaiday in the front row. Corbin Sims partnering him as well. We've actually got Billy Walters' younger brother, Jack, playing in the halves for us as well, who we'll be playing for the rest of the year. Nice. A Walters in a halves jersey. Is always a good look, and we got plenty of good boys coming back from our West, which is our feeder club. So A grade side to help out as well. So if you're around the Yandina area and you want to watch some footy, 4 p.m. on Saturday afternoon, we'll be taking a bus down and back, which I'm looking forward to.
Bit of a road trip for you.
Yeah. Road trip for the boys. Yeah. I'm not sure how many Opens teams get road trips. No. so we've dove into the little kitty that we have to make sure we get up there and back, and I'm sure there'll be some good times and maybe even a story for next week on General Wine's story time. I know.
Dangerous.
I know. So, yeah, if you're around that area, come down and see 4 p.m. At Yandina.
Fogs?
There is not a single game of rugby league in Queensland this or Southeast Queensland this
weekend. No sports
this
weekend.
Or AFL, nothing.
Yeah. So obviously I think maybe going up to Yandina could be the way to go. But it also means that we probably need an extra Queensland team in the league. Like, we just can't have holes in the schedule like this. It's unacceptable. So this is me campaigning for Cooperoo to be the 18th rugby league team once again.
Cooperoo what? What would they be called?
See, I think Cooperoo Kangaroos is the way to go. Like, that's the Aussie Rules Club there. It's the cricket club. You know, it's very near and dear to my heart. Yeah. So I think that's where we need to go. Cool.
Cooperoo Kangaroos.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rolls off the tongue very well. Yeah.
Putting in a bit early.
Rolls off the tongue like a wolf on a hill.
let's name the episode, boys. What are we thinking this week?
What did we say?
It names itself, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's like country twang.
Country twang.
Country twang.
Easy one this
Have you
week.
Got a bit of twang for us or...?
Give us some country.
Hey, I'm Lenny Wilson, and you're listening to Triple A Murray Country.
Hey! It's pretty good.
Dang.
Thank you very much.
Boys, we will do it all again next week. Thank you, listeners, and good luck on the footy this week.
Let's go.
Thanks for listening to Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions. Enjoyed the podcast? Remember to like, subscribe, and rate the show wherever you get your podcasts.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.